is from the kitchen.
Kitchen roll, throwing gutters in broadcast form.
Find me cooking finest fishes like I'm living out in Greece. Or catch me at the deli with my bacon, egg, and cheese. Or this is true culinary, this is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen, that big money where we eat.
Fresh dishes, stories from the kitchen.
Kitchen roll, throwing gutters in broadcast form.
Who's hungrier than the New York Rangers, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 54 of the Rags to Dishes podcast. I'm your host, Max Messier Richter. With me is one of my favorite Celtic fans, Mr. Dan Cotter. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Let's hope this intro doesn't age like milk and that they do pretty well.
Listen, I am a believer.
If they don't look very hungry tonight, you're going to look dumb.
The stars are aligning.
For a Rangers playoff run and for a Celtics playoff run.
One is a lot more difficult than the other. So,
yeah, I know. One of them you had to go through, you know, Kevin Durant, Giannis, like, you know, these people that are totally jokes.
Kevin Durant, born choker in the playoffs.
What? You're a fucking idiot.
What do you mean? How many championships does he have without a super team?
What are you talking about, bro? You're an idiot.
He chokes in the playoffs all the time.
Shit, this is like... You're confusing it with like Chris Paul or some shit. Like you're being ridiculous.
Another one that chokes in the playoffs all the time.
All right, listen, I led you into that, but like,
basketball players are just like not built that.
You're such an idiot.
They're not that tough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Everybody's really admires the NHL and how tough and strong those guys are.
Thank you very much. Anyway, so we have a very special guest with us this week.
You're so trash.
We got the homie Bill, but correct trash. We got the homie Bill of Liberty in here. Bill, did I just say your last name right?
Nailed it.
Nice. Fuck yeah. I've been practicing.
Well done.
So it's been a long time coming, Bill. Feels so funny just calling you Bill, even though I don't call you Bill. It just sounds funnier on the radio. How's it been, my guy?
Good, man. Keeping busy. Fucking still kind of shaking off that Bruins loss, but let's go Celts.
Listen, yeah, baby. If we're going to be real... Bruins are the most respectable franchise in Boston.
It's a growing year.
They didn't even...
What the fuck is wrong with you?
They had no business being in that series. But
you're fucking...
Carolina Hurricanes are good, man. That's what I'm saying. If the Rangers win this series, they're winning the Stanley Cup. That's it.
I'm getting goosebumps from these ice-cold takes you're coming out with, dude. Okay. This is ridiculous. I mean,
they said the same thing about the Rangers in Game 7, so...
What?
Also, the Celtics are down 1-0 right now.
Bro.
Jet lag.
Jimmy B, baby bucket, son.
That's cool, but like you're getting that the Bruins are the most respectable franchise in Boston. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Is Udonis Haslam still playing?
Yeah, he's definitely still on the team.
Legend, dude. Udonis Haslam's been going since 2004, kid.
Dude, he's just an assistant coach, basically.
All right. So, you know, this is Rags to Dishes. We are a culinary podcast.
Kind of.
I don't know what the fuck we are. Bill, you are a veteran of this motherfucking industry.
No doubt.
You're not wrong.
So how do you want to open this up? You want to start with, like, where you first started?
Let's see. I first started at a little place that I won't mention down on Boone Street.
But, oh, yeah. So wait,
that was your first job?
Up. The establishment was your first kitchen job?
That was my first restaurant job ever.
Yo, what? Dude, all right, so you got a list. How many names are on this list?
Boy Bill over here has a list of every place.
There's about 20 restaurants on a list that he brought in of places he's worked before.
Well, some of them are just bars, but still. Establishments.
Mm-hmm.
I did work that stage, but we haven't like actually worked together. You know what I mean? When did you work at the establishment?
Let's see.
That was your first
1998.
Job. 1998. Damn. Is that the year the Yankees didn't win the World Series?
I'm pretty sure they famously won the World
Series. No, that's the start of the three-peat. Okay. Gotcha. So how was that? Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams. I think that was before Roger Clemens.
Was that the Padres year?
I think they beat the Braves.
Oh, of course.
Anyway, how'd you get the job?
I walked in there with my buddy. We were both looking to just work down in Narragansett, and we were skateboarded down there and shit. So
you took a co-interview? You both went down there?
Oh, yeah. Dude, crashing interviews.
Classic.
You know, words of wisdom.
And we both got a job as dishwashers. in probably one of the worst places to ever wash dishes on the planet.
We've talked about it on this pod many of times.
Not a fun pit. What did you hate about it so much?
Yeah, like, what was it like in 1998?
It was like, felt like real work. Not like high school.
Just chilling?
Like, not high school. I don't care about anything. I'm stoned out of my mind. And shit, now I actually have to do stuff and get yelled at all day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Mike was in the kitchen at that point.
Yeah. He was more so like behind the wall of the kitchen. You know, he'd be hanging in his little cabin, chilling, doing the thing.
I got you.
He'd bang on the door or the wall three times, and then we go like walk his dog or do whatever.
Interesting.
He had his beck and call.
So did he ever like work the line while you worked with him or while you worked there?
Very rarely. I think that was kind of his in between work.
Yeah, he was trying to phase himself out.
Yeah.
He's like, we've been open for 3 years. Yeah. Let's fucking, I'm gonna fuck this.
There wasn't necessarily a lot of adult supervision in the kitchen when I was there.
There wasn't 16 years later when I was there. So,
what kind of shit you see without that supervision?
Let's see. I learned how to build the three bay into a gravity bong pretty quick.
That's pretty sick.
We did that too.
That's pretty sick.
I learned that you can crack eggs for 12 hours straight overnight, and it's a thing. And you can get paid $5.15 an hour to do it, which is tight.
Wait. So they paid you an overnight shift where all you did was just crack eggs?
Yeah, dude. We used to do overnight prep on Saturday to get ready for Sunday brunch.
That's dude, so sick.
That's awesome.
That's such a
dope
shift.
So you just like fucking ripping bongs. Yeah. It's like all night.
It was gnarly.
Just cracking eggs.
Just four or five buckets of
you're
eggs.
You're only allowed to crack eggs because we know you're getting wasted. We do not want you touching any knives or any heat.
That's
like,
sick.
True.
It's fucking funny.
It was wild.
Oh my God. That's blowing my mind. See, it's crazy that this deep into it, we still got people coming in with like shit we didn't know about the establishment.
You know, like how they talk about how dope it would be like when you die if like you got to see like your life stats roll before you. Like, you know, like that's like the, you know, my hopefully when I die, I see my life stats. And I just like sometimes when I'm at work, I'm like, yo, how many avocados have I opened?
Yeah.
How many eggs have I cracked in my life?
How many oysters have I shucked?
Yeah, exactly. Bro. Like,
it boggles the mind to think.
And, you know.
We're going to do the math once. Work by works. Wait, we're gonna do
so
that.
I've worked 25 shifts every Tuesday for the last 16 years.
You could think about it. You'd be like, what did we crack? Like, typically, like, two cases of eggs. You know, there's a finite amount of eggs in that case. And you could try to multiply that.
By a five-gallon bucket.
By days, by weeks, by months, by years, by jobs.
Say you prep 5 days a week for 10 years, which you figure out. Oh,
crazy.
Figure out how many cases of eggs that would be. That'd be fun.
So at the establishment, like, that was your first taste of the industry.
Yeah. I think my boy ran away from the industry right after that and never came back.
Wow. Okay.
Because it was so bad. And I was like, oh, this is perfect for my ADD.
I have some friends that did the same.
Yeah.
I have a friend that didn't make it 2 hours.
Yep. I can see that. I thought about it.
That's legit.
So this might not be the best.
Yeah, right.
It's not even 110 in the kitchen yet.
Yeah. Did you say 550 an hour?
I think 515.
Was that just for the overnight shift or was that like what your normal
rate
was?
That was just what we were getting.
Sheesh. That sucks.
Yeah.
That was back when like a pack of smokes was like what, like 90 cents or something crazy? 90 cents.
Yeah, dude. All the dishwater was heated up on an open flame. It was like ancient history, dude. There was like a water wheel powering the place.
We had a dog lick it clean first before we rinsed it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was the first dishwasher before they hired you. You know, the dog's not
that was who trained you. You were trained by a black lab.
The dog's taking way too many smoke breaks.
I had to take a price cut. The dog was making more than me.
Yeah. Oh, so where'd you go from there?
Let's see.
Wait, why'd you leave?
I went back to high school.
Okay.
So I was just there for the summer.
Like, maybe school's not that bad.
And then they were just like, they would always try to get us back. I was like, nah, I'm good. I think I still had like my last envelope of cash there because they just paid us in little envelopes of cash.
It's definitely gone.
And I was like, it's been a week and a half. There's no way it's there.
Of course.
But so I was there. I was at Coast Guard House, Rebar, George's, Troop, Rogue Island. Tavern on Main, the Wheelhouse, and Clam Jammers.
Wow.
In the same building. Bobby G's, Dockside, West Deck, Doherty's, McKinley's, the Golf Dome for a little bit.
I don't even know what that is. Golf Dome?
Yep. Doherty's, McKinley's for one day. The Golf Dome, Greg's, Liquid Lounge in Providence, right down the street when you can still rip butts.
Damn.
Bonview, Ocean Cliff, the Ratskeller, Matunic Oyster Bar, couple catering companies, and Jamestown Fish for one day.
Fucking nuts. Let's talk about some of these one-day runs that you had.
Let's see.
So you say McKinley's? What is that?
Yeah, so I was sitting at the bar with some buddies. We were kind of just hanging out, mid-afternoon vibes. And I guess there was like two different school like alumni parties or something.
Okay.
One at Blue and one at the Yacht Club. It was like a Wednesday afternoon, and all of a sudden like 150 people rolled up.
We need people.
There was just one bartender, and that was the only person. Wild. I was like one of three people in the bar. My buddy Rob's like, "Hey," I was like, "I got you." So I jumped behind the bar and was like bar backing, making drinks, doing this and that. I like was running in under one of the girls' numbers, and the owner like texted her, and she's like, "Oh, you had really good sales yesterday. It was like the highest she's ever had in sales." It was by me, and I didn't even work there.
That's fucking hilarious.
Swagged it out. What about Bobby G's, dude? That's like, I mean, for anyone that doesn't know, like, how do we describe Bobby G's to people not from South Kingstown?
It's like a bowling alley without the alley.
Yo. That is so perfect.
It's also like right across the street from a bowling alley.
It's so true. It's got the whole vibe of a bowling alley bar.
Very well put.
It just doesn't have bowling. It just has drinking.
So,
oh my gosh.
What happened there one day?
Yeah, they were looking for help, and I was looking for one of those Bobby G staff shirts.
You're saying you just wanted a shirt?
I popped in, I trained, and for one day, I had a bunch of homies come in. Everybody was like buying drinks and throwing money in my pockets.
That's sick.
I made like $300 and got the t-shirt and then never went back.
Dude, did it for the t-shirt. That's pretty sick. Do you have any other places you worked for only one day?
Jamestown Fish. My boy.
A nice restaurant.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, okay.
My boy was working in the kitchen there, and he's actually running the kitchen at Ocean House.
Okay.
But,
I actually had Ocean House 2 days ago.
Oh, my God.
It was banging, dude. Blue crab raviolis.
What's up, Will?
Past the Old Bay.
But, he hit me up. I was just leaving a shift at Matunic Oyster Bar. And he's like, "I need a bartender." I was like, "I got you." So I popped in. This kid, Nate, was, like, training me, which I knew him. He actually worked at McKinley's at one point. And
what a connection.
I know, right?
It's a small state.
So I was like, it started sprinkling a little bit. We were on the outside bar. So I ended up sending him home, even though he was training me. I was like, "I got this."
Yeah. So, such a savage room.
So he like laughed. I chilled, made some money. Like everyone's like, "Oh, what shifts are you here?" I was like, "None. I don't work here." But I could probably get a couple good Yelp reviews or
just
something.
Just ripping it for one day.
Yeah. Bro, I think we're kind of almost glossing over how ridiculous of a power move that is. To like imagine being somewhere. Imagine it was somewhere you're planning on working like longer, and get there, and then you tell the person training you, you're like, "Yo, I got this. You could go home."
Yeah, that's pretty savage. Yeah,
that's like, I'd be like, "The fuck?"
Well, like you know when like you're training someone and like immediately they're good, and you're just like, "Dope." Like that is
you're
fucking.
Like, cut
tight.
These
you're
like, I'm going to smoke tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have a butt. You got this.
Yeah. Let me know when the tomatoes are done.
Yeah. So, Bill, I mean, like, I don't even know where to start because of all these places. Like,
I know where to start.
Okay.
I want to hear more about the mob, dude. Tell me what it was like.
All right. Yes.
What's it like working for the mob?
We have not touched on the mob on this podcast.
No, we haven't, bro.
Are you?
For fear of getting clipped, dude.
Yeah, please. Like, I'm
fucking I was there for like 6 years, so I may or may not have some stories.
Okay. Let's go.
Tell us about Terry.
I think it's Perry.
Oh, shit. Yeah. My bad.
Perry's the man, actually.
We stand a short king, first of all.
Perry's one of those dudes that's a worker. Like, he's a farmer. He's not a restaurant owner. He's a farmer.
So yeah.
He's got, like, that work mentality where he works, and kind of expects you to do the same thing. So I don't really have anything but respect for him. I think one thing that he has is, like, he's always been a problem solver, you know? When you like have an oyster net that's broken, you like take your shoelace off and tie it back together or wing it, you know?
All right,
and
MacGyver.
That's pretty nice. Impressive.
But I mean, so many people in the restaurant business, like everywhere I've worked, it's like, "Oh, the ice scoop's broken. We can't serve ice today." you know. It's like they don't have any like way to think outside the box at
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
So problem. It's just like, oh, like the oven's down. You're like, okay, can we melt cheese on the flat top? You know, like nobody thinks like that really. So I think he's like just
or
like,
can we like pull this oven apart and try to fix it ourselves before we call someone?
Before we call someone's gonna cost $250 to look at it. But I think just that mentality kind of makes you better, like instead of looking to say like, no, we can't do that, like he fixes it, like in that weird spot of town, like we're always having power outages, you know, if tree goes down right or a storm happens, they are the last to get anything.
Yeah, because you're like out on this little archipelago or whatever where there's probably only one power line that goes to the whole neighborhood.
And I feel like everyone down there just kind of threw in the towel for like when they had that big power outage and all those trees came down and shit. And he was just like, oh, we don't, or like that when we couldn't have water. Like, remember, we couldn't use any of the water.
Yeah, that could impede your like ability to serve as a restaurant.
No, I don't remember this.
Dude, this was like a few years ago. The water was like contaminated or something. Someone like took a dump in the reservoir. I don't know how that
probably,
works.
Probably a couple dumps.
But,
it was a big dump.
Yeah, anywhere like south, like that you couldn't use the water. So that means you couldn't use any of the ice. You couldn't use like any of the water, soda, any of that. And like bad places closed. I think we closed for like one day. And then we're just like, fuck it, let's make this work. So Perry bought like an ice truck just to use for the week. And we just bought like all the ice everywhere we could, filled the ice truck, and the show kept going on. But just like that kind of stuff.
That's wild.
That kind of stuff. Like even with COVID and shit, like he was like one of the first ones to just kind of roll with the punches, you know? He's like, all right, we'll become like a takeout shop for a while, or we'll do this or that, or donate shit to, you know, kids that can't get food and stuff now because of COVID. Like they did a lot of stuff like that. And
well, that's nice.
It just kind of shows him like rolling with the punches, you know? He like obviously expects you to work hard and be good at what you do, but I think like now that I'm an owner, I'm like, oh, I totally get that piece. Like I want that same shit.
Where would you rank MOB as like your favorite places you've worked?
That's probably one of my favorites because I mean, let's be honest, it's all about the bunny baby.
Yeah.
For the record, for the listeners, we're talking about the Batutic Oyster Bar. I don't think we've mentioned it by name
yet. Straight Mob Squad.
Yeah, we're just calling it Mob.
But, yeah, I mean, I learned a lot there, made a lot of awesome connects. You know, all the shuckers and barbacks all own their own oyster farms and shit now.
So it's always shout out, Thad.
Always good to have those boys around, you know. But, yeah, met a lot of dope people. I think it's one of those restaurants, too, that there's, like, a couple of left that are that voluminous. So, like, you go from 25 people that you see all winter. Mm-hmm. And then one weekend it gets like next weekend probably.
Yeah.
There's 150 people that work there all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's going to get
and
nuts.
And you're just like getting crushed every day, all day, all night. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of go to war with each other every day. You leave, you have about 50 drinks to forget about it. And you go back and do it all over again.
This is the exact like theme of this podcast. Like this is the lifestyle. It's not good for you, but it's like... It's also fun as fuck.
It's fucking wild.
It's inspiring.
It keeps you young.
I'm truly inspired right now.
It keeps you young either
it's
by...
Like, it's like on some like Hunter Thompson shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, not healthy, but like a good story.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, not sure if it keeps you young because you're like pickled all the time and it's a nice preservative.
Yeah.
Or because
no, I mean like it keeps you young and then you hit a wall where you are that old, very long, white-haired dishwasher.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just creeping out all the front of the house people.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's like one of those things. It's like, it's hard to tell. It's like, oh, like we party hard, but then we're also surrounded by like 20 to 25 year olds our whole career.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone our age either dies or fucking moves on.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know?
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's so nuts.
So we just end up perpetually in college mode.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is fine. It's man, a fucking children. Sweet mode.
So what's like the biggest, I don't even know what to call it. Like, you're working at MOB. It's so funny calling it MOB.
Yeah, you know me.
The just like mob. Crazy, crazy high paced business. Like, what's like the wildest shit that's happened during a service? To you?
To me personally, let's see. I was working on the inside bar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like fairly busy. Well, we thought it was dead, but it's like a full restaurant anywhere else.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, it's so quiet today. There's not a seat in the house, but we're chilling. Nice day. I'm making this a couple of couple Manhattans at like 11 a.m., 11:30 a.m. for an older couple.
Damn, they're getting after it. Having Manhattans before noon.
All of a sudden, I see like something going on. The GM like kind of runs over. He's looking a little pale. I'm like, what's happening? And apparently, one of the Manhattans was this guy's last Manhattan.
Whoa. Damn.
So I made sure all my customers had cocktails, of course, because I'm a professional.
Yeah.
And then I went over there and helped them do CPR for like a half hour because apparently the EMTs are really far away from a tuna goyster bar.
Wow. Damn, bro.
Right in the middle of service.
Yo, I think
and he passed?
Dude, as soon as we got him like to the ground, I was like, he's definitely not alive.
Bro, is this our first podcast death?
Did he? I think so.
I think ground has just been broken.
Did he finish the drink, though?
Of course.
So, wow. That's a powerful ass Manhattan you poured.
Yeah, I think what Max is trying to ask here.
Like,
I heard people would die for
him. Did you fucking kill this guy?
It's hard to say.
Not necessarily that, just like the energy.
I mean, now the teardrop tattoo makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, what happened after that?
Wash my hands. And went
wash
back.
My hands. Hey, my hands. Great move, washing your hands.
I'm a professional.
Literally and figuratively.
And you're telling me you gave him CPR?
Yeah.
So you were blowing right into that old man's mouth?
Okay. Well, they try to teach you not to do that anymore.
I was mostly just cracking ribs.
Mouth to mouth isn't advised, but like you can do it.
Oh, okay. So you just push on the motherfucker's chest.
Yeah, you jump up and down and shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically just House of pain. They finally came, worked on him for a while, got him out of there. And finished my shift like an hour later and then drove to East Greenwich and hopped on the bar at Main Tavern on Main.
Jesus Christ,
bro. And pulled another whole shift right there.
You were like, yeah, no Manhattans tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus. That's so gnarly.
That's crazy, dude.
This is,
That's a great story. I mean,
it's a unique story.
It's rough.
So that was one of the wildest ones.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Bro, that's crazy. Man.
So I feel like...
How was service the rest of that night?
Quiet, probably.
Yeah. Everybody's just staring at their shoes the whole time they walk around.
It was weird. Actually, you know what I did?
I'll be your server tonight. I'm dead on the inside.
Everyone's just staring like, do you think that guy at table three knows?
So like, no.
They're stepping over like there's like a tarp over the dude. Like,
it's like chalked out. Yeah.
So don't worry about it. They're walking around.
Like that, buff that out quick before we see that table.
Oh my God. Dude, that's fucked.
That was funny. All the servers were like obviously shaking up in the little server room. So I was like... Oh, we're not really supposed to drink on the job, but nobody really thinks of bitters as being like
a drink,
like 88 proof or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like strong as shit. But so I poured everyone a shot of bitters.
A shot of bitters.
And I was like, all right, guys, let's go.
I mean, it fits the moment.
I was like, let's go finish our sections off. Let's do this.
Damn, that's gnarly.
Yeah,
that holy shit.
You know? I mean, a lot of weird things happened there. Like that guy went to slow down and stand on the gas and like hit a bunch of people waiting in line for their cars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, were you around for that?
Dude, so me and Thaddeus, we were fucking doing our drawer, right?
Shout out to Thad.
We're like upstairs, like, what the fuck happened? I'll show you some awesome pictures of me and Thad, like, calling work and being like, because he was going to Ocean Mist after.
Of course.
And I was going to East Greenwich after to jump on the bar. And we're like calling, we're like, we can't really go anywhere. And we're trying to explain what happened. And you hear me and Thad, who obviously could be anywhere together.
Yeah.
Like partying or whatever. And we both have like the same story that we're telling like different bosses.
They can hear you in the background. Yeah. They're like, I know you're just hanging out with Thad, bro. I can hear his ass telling this boss.
Like, literally, though. So we're like up top and we're like trying to take pictures to set him for like evidence.
Yeah.
And the police come up there in the room because that's where we're doing our drawer. And they're like having us pull up like security camera footage of like this lady getting hit and like dragged across the parking lot. So we're like finding it. We're watching it in like super slow-mo.
Yeah.
Like, I was like,
they're like zooming enhanced.
And they were like, this is so weird. And then me and Thad just dipped and went to work as soon as they cleared the road.
So can you refresh my memory as to what was the situation there? Was it like a drunk driver or like?
No, it was like an older guy. He was.
That was my second guess. It was like a really old person.
He was driving. He went to pull into the parking lot. And there was a bunch of people waiting for their cars. And he, instead of stepping on the brake, he slammed on the gas.
Oh, my God. And he just fucking nailed some people.
Just wiped
everybody
out
survived?
Crowd. Yeah.
I was going to say, dude, too many deaths going on.
Yeah. I was like, I haven't worked at a place where no one's died.
He's also got another list on his phone of like 20 bodies that have been caught at places he's
worked at. Someone died at the establishment one time.
Really?
Not I feel like someone had a heart attack there. Yeah.
I mean, while you were working or like now, Lindsay told you about long ago or something?
I think if I was working, I would have remembered. Yeah.
I feel like all those things, they sound like crazy and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
I mean, people die every day out here, bro.
And you realize fucking street stuff.
People be dying. Right?
And you realize you're like at this place where like you see like 4,000 people a day. And like you're there 96 hours a week, like you're bound to see some shit.
Yeah, for real. For sure.
You're down to see a wig get pushed back at any moment, bro.
Speaking of things you might see, you know, I think it's fun when like a celebrity comes into work or some shit, or you're like, yo, that's Chris Dunn. I'm giving this fucking breakfast sandwich to. Like, can you speak on some of the people that you've seen at the Oyster Bar come through? Just anywhere, I
probably
guess.
Probably the best one was Charlie Day.
It's Always Sunny?
I was just, like, inside bar. I was, like, chilling because there wasn't much going on. And I was like, dude, that guy at your table sounds exactly like Charlie Day. And I like, didn't see him. He was, like, sitting next
to doing the whole Pepe Sylvia thing.
I'm like, wow. I'm like, this guy's bit is really long. He's been doing it for, like, a half an hour now.
This impression needs to stop, bro.
And then me and Jenna, we're walking by and we're like, oh shit, that is Charlie Day.
That's so funny.
But he was fun. He was chill.
You remember what he was drinking?
Like a Manhattan.
Damn. R.I.P.
I couldn't get him. He was drinking water.
Yeah, right. He's like, I'm sober.
But there's a couple people in there. I don't know, trying to think of who. DMX, obviously.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. I was like, man, this is getting somber ass.
We stand a legend.
Yeah. Everyone I see just dies. DMX isn't even safe.
I mean, at some point, DMX was just like a resident of South County.
Dude,
they had the DMX pin at the bowling alley.
That should be SK's Wikipedia page.
Like DMX lived here.
Hey, one time DMX just chilled here for a bit.
Hit Marshall's hard.
Yeah. Hit Marshall's super hard, bro.
Dude, I remember DMX moved to Rhode Island when I moved back to Brooklyn.
That's what made him move over.
I was working with the dude, Chris, who's fucking hilarious. We'll get him on the pod if we make a New York trip. And he was just like, yeah, bro, it makes sense. Like, you and DMX can't be living in the same town together. That shit's fucked up. Like, you had to bounce. He had to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
That's hilarious. So we had the same joke.
So,
fuck you. Sorry, folks. Jason Tatum.
Yo, such a hater. It's so funny.
So we've talked about the establishment. We've talked about these one-timers. We talked about the mob. You know, like, Tunic Oyster Bar seems like a pretty chaotic place to work.
Yeah.
Establishment, pretty chaotic place to work.
George is a galley.
Yeah, that was going to ask, like, that where, was an easy where one. Else was... chaotic as fuck to work.
That one is probably the wildest. I feel like nowhere has felt as like just crazy and busy and hard to work as that place.
Really?
Yeah.
In what sense? Like just volume?
Just
like
volume and everything. You have like...
There's like three bars.
There's like five kitchens.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole full takeout kitchen, two kitchens downstairs, kitchen upstairs. Yeah. Like it's just wild. It's wild. So like the best is like... You know, those holidays that are before the busy season. So it's like Columbus Day or whatever. But it's 70 and like 1,000 people come down there. And
you those were the worst.
And you have like four people on that have never worked before.
When I worked at the Mist, it would be like that one weekend in March where it gets mad nice out. And then everybody's like, let's go to the Mist because it's hot out. And then it's like, we weren't prepared for this.
Yeah,
and you just get fucking nailed.
Just destroyed. But I felt like that almost every day.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it was wild. But everything after that just feels easy, you know?
So.
It really loosened me up.
How so?
Just getting fucked every day.
Okay.
He's talking about them walls, bro.
But it almost like, it's like a Walmart had a beach bar. That's like kind of the vibe I get.
If
from
Walmart had a beach bar,
that's wow, kind of like,
dude, you're getting
you're really
sick with
good
these.
At the descriptions.
Walmart had a beach bar.
I feel like that's like that whole area's like clientele.
Yeah, it's not quite Target.
Yeah.
It's a Walmart.
Yeah.
You know? What was I going to say? So, like, most of your career has been bartending, yeah?
Yeah. So I...
what do you love about it
I
so
probably
much?
Cooked, like, for 12 years. While I was bartending.
Where were the places you cooked at?
I cooked at George's. I cooked at...
Rogan. Which of the five kitchens?
probably all of them.
Five, four.
George's getting up in them guts.
I cooked at Rogue Island. Where else did I cook? Rebar back in the day. I used to bartend and cook at the same time.
Damn.
I don't know what that is.
They literally... It's where Tavern 12 is now.
Mm-hmm.
But they basically, it was like a circle, like an island. And one side of the island was the bar, and the other side of the island was the kitchen.
What?
So I literally like pour everyone beers.
And then go and flip an egg on the flat top or some shit.
Literally, I just keep running around circles.
Just 180.
Just burning the shit out of people's food. But I'm like, or you don't get a drink.
Bro,
like,
it should be legal to employ people to that degree. Like, you're literally getting paid to do two people's jobs by yourself.
And that would be like on a Friday. So I'd be there like all day solo on a Friday.
Oh, I mean, you've dishboed.
I know, but those jobs go hand in hand. And that's like off season Tuesday.
It was gnarly. But I feel like cooking's always been one of those things where like somebody calls out or this or that. I'm like, I'll do it. Like, it's fucking Monday. Who cares?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, dude, I used to promise myself I'm doing that. I was like, bro, not only do I not call out, I never don't get called in. Like, I never say no when they call me. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
I mean, like,
I started serving at Greg's in North Kingstown, and I was just like, man, they're having all the fun's in the kitchen. I was like, I'm chilling out here with like Barbara and Pam, fucking serving mile high meatloaf. So I could be back there grabbing ass with the boys in the kitchen.
Dude, that's what you want to do.
And
that's where you got to be.
I literally just stopped, stopped serving and jumped in the kitchen for a year or so there.
Just because the vibe was better.
Yeah.
The cake slap.
Yeah. I was like, no one even slapped anyone with a piece of haddock for being late today. Like, what's the fun of that?
Am I even alive? If I'm not getting slapped with fish, am I even living?
Right. That was a fun job, though. Like, that was one of the first kitchens I worked where they had, like, the ACI would bring, like, their fill-ins. So they're like, oh, we need three guys in the kitchen. And, like, three guys would come down in the morning from the ACI with, like, anklets on.
I love that.
And, that's sick, though.
Just tell us dope stories and, hang out and, like, give us a little street cred, you know?
That's pretty cool.
So that was pretty
wild. Just bless you with some street cred.
Just quick street cred.
They give you, a mark on your forehead. Like,
now, before I go back.
I flip burgers with that guy. That guy we call Kansas. I dropped fries with him once.
That's savage.
So I want to hear about, you've had pretty good praise for most of these places so far. I want to hear about the ones you hate.
I don't think I hate any of them.
So you never had a really bad experience at a job?
Oh, I mean, a couple. Interesting. If I knew I would have, I wouldn't have been there for longer than a day.
Gotcha.
You know? There's certain jobs that you do because you just feel like you might as well because you haven't looked anywhere and you just assume they're not looking and they're like, actually, yeah, we could use a bartender. And you're like, fuck, I was just told myself I'd stop at three places on the way home and apply. but I think the biggest thing I've done is for a while, I just never said no. Like if people needed help and I had a day off, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. And I kind of just took one thing, good or bad, from each place and kind of was like, oh, I know when I own a place, I'll never do that. And I'd be like, oh, when I own a place, I'll do this or tweak this and do this differently. But I like that or hate that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I learned more from the worst places I worked than the better places, you know?
Because you're learning what not to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you go undefeated, what do you learn, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
the Rangers won in 7.
Exactly.
I'm happy for you, Andy.
Dude, I'm hyped. I'm going to game 3 on Sunday.
Nice. Dude, it was my boy that scored that game winner, wasn't it?
Who, Breadman?
I don't know who that is.
Artemi Panarin? God damn.
Yeah, that's my guy.
You got to get up on your shit. You know what? You're not going home after this. You know, oh, fuck. It's 6:59. Game 1 starts in 1 minute. Actually, it doesn't. Puck drop won't be till 7:16.
Right? Oh, my God. Yeah.
Dude, they do it all the time. Dude, the NHL is so fucking bad at marketing. They're like, the game's at 7:15. Puck drop, and then it's 8:00, and you're like, can we fucking go, dude? Like, what the fuck?
Sounds like a shit league.
Oh, man. But the product, it's great. It's just like a bad drug dealer. It's like a bad drug dealer with the best drugs of all time.
It's like mids, but with no seeds.
Isn't that just headies?
Damn.
Let's talk about your place, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of what to do when you own. Yeah.
We might have to add you to the hit list. Not the shit list.
Right. Yeah, the hit list. That's a good thing, trust me.
Yeah, so basically COVID hit and everyone was closing and everyone was nervous. And I was like, I should open a spot. That'd be dope.
So you decided to zag what everybody else zigged.
I mean, Adam Mir did the same thing. Right? So.
Wow, dude. That's shade you're trying to throw.
Hey, I mean, his is still open.
Yeah, true. True. So basically I was working at George's. We built like that tiki bar. We were on the beach during COVID, just chilling, doing that thing.
You helped build that tiki bar?
I did like the last day of work with Brandon Johnson.
Okay.
And then we dragged him down to the beach at midnight and buried in the sand and opened 4th of July at like 2 in the afternoon.
Nice.
But so I was working there full time and I was still at Troop in Providence full time. So I had like a day off and.
Shout out JT.
Shout out Troop.
What up, yo? But I had like a day off. So I popped into East Greenwich to grab a beer. And my buddy Zach was there and he was talking about how. He was opening a spot and his partner kind of disappeared and moved and he was like kind of a little bit lost in this and that. I was like, well, I'll tell you what, when the summer ends, let's chat and I'll see what I can do to help you out. So we chatted and I kind of popped in and helped do some painting and more painting and more painting. And we kind of picked out some equipment, threw it all in there. It used to be a gym, so there was literally nothing in there. We had to like run the water, cut through concrete and all that good fun stuff. But we got that all done. And then I finally pulled away and left Troop and was there full time. So we opened like the last week in August, I think. So we haven't quite been open a year yet. We're working and busy, busy, busy. Then politics got involved because we were too busy.
What do you mean?
So
yeah, you're going to have to elaborate.
Yeah. So basically, all of a sudden the police and this and that were checking in on us and we had to like redo a bunch of our licensing.
Six up.
All that.
Wait, like the
stuff.
Cops came up on your ass?
Po' nine on the block.
Yeah. Saying like, I guess we didn't have like the right, licensing for like live entertainment. I guess there's one that's
so
like,
what, you were having like a DJ or something and they were like
DJ L bumps.
Yeah. So, we had a couple DJs and this and that, which I guess we weren't supposed to. So it wasn't a big deal. They were just like, you know, we got fined and everything like you always do. It's just kind of growing pains as a new place.
Sure.
But, the town worked with us well and, kind of, we told them what we were trying to do, food wise and what we were trying to do kind of nightlife wise and a couple other things we were trying to get going. And I think when we came in there, they thought we were just like opening a club, like these city boys are opening a nightclub in East Greenwich, which wasn't the case. It's just when, you know, we didn't have kitchen help like for the first couple months or whatever, then all of a sudden you're like, without food, how do I get people drinking here? You know, and you're like, okay, so now we're not open till 6 because we're not really doing food and no one's coming until then. And we kind of became a cocktail lounge. You know? So we kind of were getting stuff in place. So that gave us time to kind of fix the kitchen, make sure it would work, kind of get some good people in there. My buddy, Billy came in, from New Haven.
So there's two Bills.
Yeah. Keeps it simple.
Damn.
But, he was actually running a
Kill Bill 1, Kill Bill 2.
Right. He was running,
got two Bills in my pocket, bro.
Two Bills and one stone. But, he was running a breakfast place in Barrington, but, he was looking to make some moves. So I brought him on. He's doing an awesome job. We got some cool, like, kind of tapas stuff and tacos and bar snacks and
sweet.
Some have we mentioned the name of your place yet?
Low Key.
For the listeners?
We're just keeping it low key.
Nice.
Yeah, but, just keeping it low key.
Yeah. But, so now we got food up and running. The town kind of saw what we're doing.
They
we
felt
got live music every Thursday, DJs Friday and Saturday. Good vibes. A lot of fun. Cocktails are awesome. The food's awesome.
So how does it shout out? First of all, we're going to have to get down there, do a food review.
Get down there.
How does it feel making the transition over from soldier to captain, you know?
I think for me, it feels exactly the same. You know, I think it's just because I've been in the business for so long. I kind of It's like, you guys know, you've been doing it a long time. You know, a lot of times you know more than the owner, or you know how to run their business better than the owner does.
In some aspects.
Sure. I know how that feels.
In just about everyone. But, you know, it's one of those things that you've been saying for years, like, ooh, what if we try this? I bet it would work better. And then it kind of goes to deaf ears. Now I'm like, sure. Not saying it to anyone. I'm just doing it. So that part of it's nice and cool. And, you know, I'm a bartender. I'll always be a bartender because that's where the money is. So I set up everything like for all my people to make money, you know.
That's the way to do it.
Bomb drinks, and people have to pay $12 for them, and no one complains about it and tips well. And
I feel like $12 isn't that much for a
mystery. No, I know.
Yeah, if they're good cocktails.
They're a pretty good deal.
I make sure we get the booze in there. So
yeah, I'm sure you do.
You know, but just trying to do like elevated food, elevated cocktails, keep the value there, but also not have like dollar beers and get that crowd in there either, you know? Yeah. Or like get the college kids that don't tip. I'm like, I want people that aren't afraid to spend a little money and tip big and have fun, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Just trying to go hard.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Go hard in the paint.
Yeah. Let's get to some classic questions. What do you think?
Oh, okay.
Do you have any specific stories you were going to like bring up of? Okay.
I want to hear, like, being a bartender all these years, do you remember, like, how many times you had to kick somebody out, cut somebody off? Do you have any particularly memorable, unique customer experiences?
Very good one, Dan.
Ooh, there's a lot.
Yeah, let's get into some memorable ones.
I don't know. I think cutting people off is always like the weirdest one.
Yeah.
It's just like
when you when you're gonna kick somebody out, it's usually like for something undeniable. Yeah. Like they just punch somebody in the face, they just passed out or something. Sure. Where it's like there's no argument, you're done. But cutting somebody off is like an invitation for an argument.
Like trying to be polite about it.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but think about like you're at like a resort, basically a place like at George's. You don't know any of these people. They're different people every week for the most part. You don't know if people are like foreign, you know. Yeah. You don't know if they're slurring or have like
or if they have an accent
or like anything.
Yeah.
And you can't really ask any of those questions. So it's like, like you kind of.
But it's also like you're.
Yeah, but you also have
to. You're in control, you know? So yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It's just one of those awkward things where you just kind of listen, pay attention, kind of figure it out. Like, I'll usually start, like, I'll just slide them like a water.
Yeah, that's always a good strategy.
The first stop and see if they, like, drink it or, like, not.
Or and take the hint.
Yeah.
Like, if I got a water slid to me at the bar, I would feel shame.
You're like, maybe I need to slow down. Yeah.
I'd be like, oops, they're definitely judging me.
And if not, I got blue Powerade on the gun to really slow them down. That was probably my biggest veteran move, was to put blue Powerade on the soda gun behind the bar.
That's sick. That's
huge.
That's dope. Yeah. Dude, the kitchen people will be feeding for that all summer.
For sure. And I make like cold brew espresso. So that keeps the kitchen going for sure.
Damn, that'll do it.
And now we have AC in the kitchen.
Oh, my God.
Bro. Max, you looking for a job?
Yeah.
It blows straight down right
I'm coming
on the line.
Right through.
It blows right on the line. It's amazing.
So do you have any other, like, do you have any particular, like, wild ass, like, people that had to get thrown out of a bar you worked at?
Well, I mean,
mostly.
Definitely.
Like,
George's.
Yeah. I'm like, most of the time it's just, like, fights. Or just, like, I feel like when people do something really dumb, they're like looking to get kicked out. So they like literally look around and they're looking for like validation that they have to go, and they like kick themselves out.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that kind of happens the most. But
yeah, you storm out.
Yeah. I mean, in Providence, it's like obviously way usually worse scenarios when people are getting kicked out. And East Greenwich is just like not really that big of a deal. We haven't really had any problems. A couple fights have happened like outside that were like waiting for pizza
like
next
on
door
the strip.
Or whatever. And somehow two times they ended up just flying down the street and going right through our windows, which
damn.
Is sweet. So then obviously it's like, oh, window broken at Low Key. And you're like, oh, but they weren't even there.
Yeah,
they were walking by and got pushed.
Like, was that Justin O'Connor?
I'm like, I'm like, they got pushed into like this window from like 1962. That's like single pane. And
yeah.
I thought you were saying
the wind was going
to They got it. Pushed all the way out of 1962, like Austin Powers or some shit. Got thrown through this window.
But also, yeah. But I don't know. It's just like,
yeah, that sucks. You're like, we're not that kind of establishment. Yeah. Okay. This was other people that weren't coming here.
Exactly. But I feel like as far as like kicking people out, it's all like pretty easy. I remember at George's, like the bartender and the bar staff when I was there originally were probably, they were like way bigger than like the bouncers, because the bouncers were just like exchange like workers from like middle Europe.
Okay.
You know, because they do like a program and they have like 30 people from overseas come and work for the summer, and they would live like in the paper shed. Like basically they've paid these little tiny like apartments like upstairs, and they would have them all like live there.
That is jeez, wild.
Which is wild. Like try to call out when you live in the paper shed. You know what I mean?
I mean, someone did sleep in that back room at the establishment.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
But actually when I was at Tavern on Main, I mean, not Tavern on Main, at Rebar, where Tavern 12 is now. Mm-hmm. I was like, it was my first or second day and I'm there. And this guy comes in, like work boots and stuff, sits at the bar and he's like just drinking Bud Whites. And all of a sudden I look over, he's like passed out on the bar. Jeez. And I'm like, should I like say something to that guy? And they're like, oh, that's just like, I don't know what his name is, Bob or whatever. They're like, he
lives, Justin O'Connor or whatever.
They're like, he lives upstairs, like behind the outside bar. They're all like all winter.
Wow.
Damn.
And I was
that's
like,
that's a local.
And they're like, yeah, at the end of the night,
he'll, this is just his living room.
They're literally like at the end of the night, just like wake him up and he'll pay his tab and then he'll go upstairs.
That's fucking
like,
lit.
I was like, is this real life?
They're like, go home. He's like, I live here.
I was like, shit. I'm like, are you going to lock up or do I? I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
It's like just shit like that. You end up like just seeing like everywhere. It's wild.
Nuts.
It's wild. But I mean, as far as people getting thrown out, like nothing crazy. Besides just like fights, you know?
Yeah.
The typical bullshit.
Yeah. Luckily, like at Troop, like nothing happened because all our door guys were all like jujitsu guys, so
damn,
everyone was kind of chill. But I didn't really have work at too many places where there was like a problem. Like,
that's a good
night.
Idea, honestly. Like if you're opening a spot and you need bouncers, just go to like your local karate.
Yeah,
studio.
Yeah.
Hey, you. Yeah.
Go to the dojo.
Come make some cash.
Right, it's easy,
dude. That's funny.
Pay for their classes, you know.
So. What about back of the house? You ever see any gnarly kitchen injuries? Could be front of the house too. Any bartending?
What about kitchen fights? Kitchen beefs?
Always. But no, I think one of the funniest was everybody was like, everybody was in the kitchen smoking. I think they made one of those gravity bongs. And all of a sudden we're like looking around. We're like, where the hell did that kid go? And like, oh, he must be outside like smoking a cigarette. So everyone goes outside and smoke a cigarette, forget that we're looking for this kid. Then we're like, where the fuck did that kid go? We open the walk-in door and just out cold on the floor.
Some kid like,
split his head wide open.
What?
Walking into the walk-in and just like was laid out on the ground.
So wait, this is a person you work with.
This is at the establishment.
Okay, so they so they ripped the are you saying that they ripped the gravity bong and then like passed out because they were fucked up?
Yeah, or like hit their head like walking into the walk-in.
That's what's confusing me. Are you saying they walked into the walk-in and then like fell down and hit their head? Or they like banged their head on the door while they were opening the door? So this is where I'm getting tripped up.
I would say I think it was a collabo of all those things.
Damn, dude.
It was wild. He survived though.
This fucking
there we go. That's good. Yeah, like, dude, you just made him a man.
He was our survival.
It's all fun and games. You're passing the gravity bug around. Somebody hits the deck and you're like, we're irresponsible, man.
Funnier that you guys just like, where'd he go?
Like,
oh, fuck it. Let's go rip his toe, dude.
What's like, he even doing back there?
Like, one of the last places you would check is the walk-in.
Yeah. You're like, where he's already working?
Yeah.
Damn.
Ugh, maybe he's out back cutting fries.
That is a funny one. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But there was like always just those fun things in the kitchen, you know, like at the establishment we walk around with like pickles stuck to our forehead.
Sure.
And then you'd like totally forget.
Raw bacon on your back.
Yeah. And you'd forget. And
tape,
you'd be like
tape, people putting labels on you. That's a fuck.
And they'd be like, oh, can you run these glasses out front for like water and for like the juice girls? You're like, sure, there's like two pickles stuck to your forehead.
It says buffalo chicken 7/14 on your back.
Yeah, like, they're just like, oh God.
Oh man.
Damn.
So what do you love most about this establishment? I mean, this establishment, fuck, I'm mad dumb. Yeah, it's because I got to get my Ranger hot again. industry, I'm sorry.
This lifestyle, bro.
I think it's if you can do this, you can do anything. Like, I sold, like...
The game just started.
I was like a recruiter for a while and sold people. I was like executive recruiter. I was like loan officer for a while.
Oh, not like R. Kelly.
Not like Alexander Hamilton.
Not like all of Star Island. Damn. But yeah, I think like all that stuff was just easy. Like we talk to people we don't know or want to talk to and have to build a relationship within 30 seconds with them.
Yeah.
Like just because they could be sitting with you for 3 hours. So you might as well start off on the right foot. But just that ability crosses over into so many things in life that it's just like, I don't know, it's just easy to kind of control a room if you're in a sales position. It's easy to like not get flustered when shit hits the fan because
For some people,
I've like just never had a normal day in a restaurant where everything was the way it's supposed to.
Yeah,
be.
Yeah, what's shit. That like?
Like, you know what I mean? But you always just kind of roll with the punches and act quick on your feet. And
so would that be your advice to the youngins coming into the industry?
I think everyone needs to work in the restaurant in some capacity for like 3 years.
Dude, it's so true. It's like you get life skills, like not only like. Oh, you can learn how to cook and shit. It's like you can learn how to deal with difficult situations, like people dying after they drink your Manhattan or something.
I learned CPR real quick.
And then still going to work. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. My boyfriend said my
shots
breakfast.
Of bitters for everybody.
I mean, you know? Like, let's be real. If I served someone food and they died, I would probably be like, hey.
You'd be like, I'm ghost, dude. I'm out of here. You're just yeah, gone. Yeah,
there was already enough ghosts.
Where'd Max go?
I need
check
to go
the
contemplate life and, you know, listen to some Pink Floyd.
Yeah, right?
Listen to some fucking Lil Peep, dude. Rest in peace. We stand a legend.
I don't. Should we wrap it here?
Wrap that shit up, B.
Yeah, we got a game to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, Steph versus Luca. Let's go.
Well, Bill, dude, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it was my pleasure, boys.
We'll get you on again, too. I know there's more stories locked
there's
up.
There's about 10 more restaurants we haven't covered.
Yeah. There's a lot. A
couple more heart attacks, couple more Manhattans.
Ghost Guard House was wild.
Yeah, too. We're gonna that's called a teaser for you folks out there.
Well, I'm Max Messier Richter.
I'm Dan Connor.
I'm Bill Al Liberty.
And this is the Rags to Dishes podcast.
This is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen, everybody, where we eat all. Rags to Dishes. The Ari's got the kitchen. The kitchen rolls.